My dad died a little over a year ago, and he was 77 years old when he died, and went to church with us here. Many of you knew him, and over the last year, I've had a lot of reflections about my dad. I drive into my driveway, and I think of certain things I'd like to tell him, but he's not here to tell him. I miss him. But as the years progressed on, I've tried to process some different things I've learned from my father. I want to share some of that with you in a sermon this morning, specifically. Number one, my dad taught me a principle of hard work. When I was very young in life, we did everything from build barns to take care of cattle. My dad was famous of moving hay from one barn to another and then moving it back to the same barn you just moved it from. We poured concrete, we added on to the house, all kinds of things that we did. I look at one of the things that my dad did is he worked for years at a plant. I will tell you, he probably really didn't love his work that much, honestly. But he got up every morning and he went to work. And at the end of the day, he clocked out every day. And one of the things that I think is just a very important principle in my life is he's taught me how important it is to work, how important it is to go to work. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 30, I went by the field of the slothful, that's the lazy person for you non-King James folks, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. So the slothful person is the person that's void of understanding, doesn't have understanding. A lazy person doesn't understand some important things of life. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and it covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. You know, we don't have this so much in our culture, and we're big city folks, you know, we're Houston folks in this part of the country. Lisa and I lived several years ago in Plainview, Texas, West Texas, and they're farmers out there, and that's a huge part of their community out there. And I'm telling you, the kind of things that we might look at and say, well, that people really shouldn't be this way. You're right, we really shouldn't be this way, but it's a fact of life. A farmer goes down in West Texas and he looks at his neighbor's field and it's full of thorns and thistles and he hadn't been plowing, he hadn't been taking care of the weeds and that kind of stuff, and it leaves a terrible reputation on that farmer in that community. It's a part of their culture. We may do it in other ways, like, oh, those people didn't mow their yard, you know, or whatever, but it's different. But that's what this is talking about. This proverb is teaching a principle that a lazy person, a person that's void of understanding, has a vineyard, has a farm, is all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face of it, the stone, the walls were broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And by want, he means a person that is lacking, a person that's poor, a person that's in poverty, he's in want. The Bible says if all you want to do is lay and sleep and slumber, and you just want to fold your hands and sleep, and that's the type of person that you want to be, and you don't want to get up and go to work in the mornings, you're going to be like that slothful person, and you're going to forever be in want, and you're going to have poverty that comes upon you. You know, I'm thankful my dad taught me those lessons. Get up in the morning and go to work. My dad had some philosophies about getting up in the morning and going to work, and some of which I agree with, obviously. But one of which, he actually believed it was very good for mental health. And I think he's right. You know what you do when you get up and you go to work in the morning, you put in a good hard day's work, you come home at the end of a good hard day's work, you've accomplished something, there's a sense of accomplishment, it helps the mental health of a person to feel like something's been accomplished. I did something that accomplished something today. You go to bed, number one, you feel better about yourself because you did something that accomplished something that day. But secondly, you sleep better because you worked hard that day. You're tired. And a lot of times folks that struggle with mental health issues struggle because they don't sleep at night. And they struggle through the day trying to function through the day and then stay up half the night trying to get sleep. They're not sleeping. Work hard during the day and you'll sleep better at night and you'll have less of those struggles with mental health. You'll feel like you've gotten something accomplished during the day. I'm thankful to my dad for teaching me that lesson. One of the things I would think of when I think about my dad is he was at church. Now, my dad had family that didn't always go to church. And when I say that, I'm talking about, you know, he had siblings or cousins or whatever that didn't always go to church. But my dad had four kids, and I can tell you, coming from a son point of view, I was son number three. I can tell you one thing is my dad was at church. There was never a question. He didn't come home from work and go, hey, are we going tonight? It was never even a conversation about that kind of thing. We went to church. That's where we went. That's what we were a part of. He taught us the importance of being present at church. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. You know, one of the lessons my dad taught me in being there is that I preferred my brethren over being anywhere else at that time. That was a priority in our home, is a priority in our life, that we preferred one another. And I'm glad he taught me the importance of my brothers and sisters in Christ and putting that as a preference in our life. Another thing that if I looked at my dad and I looked at characteristics of my dad, I would say loyalty. Dad was a very loyal person. He was loyal to his family. He's loyal to his friends. He was loyal to his job. He was loyal. My dad didn't do a job for a little while and quit and go do another job and quit and go to, I don't know how old, I'd have to do the math. I didn't do it before the sermon, but he was probably 18 to 20 years old when he went to work for the plant and he worked there till he retired. He was loyal to what it was that he had agreed to do or committed to do. I'm not saying it's wrong to quit a job. Do not misunderstand me. I'm just saying it's a characteristic of his that he's a very loyal person. If he ever shook a hand to you and said, I'm going to do this, I'm agreeing to do this or whatever, he was loyal to that. George H.W. Bush years ago was president of the United States, and the media was really getting on him for some particular thing that his children did, and they were trying to criticize him for being loyal to his children, essentially. And George H.W. Bush made a statement one time that has just stuck out of my mind. He said, I did not realize that family loyalty was a character flaw. And I thought that was a classic way. You know, the media immediately backed off. They stopped all of the criticism and everything. He said, I didn't realize family loyalty was a character flaw. It's not a character flaw to be loyal. Now, that doesn't mean to be blindly loyal. My dad was never he was not blindly loyal. He didn't overlook but he was loyal. If you were his friend, he loved you and would bend over backwards to try to help you. And those are characteristics that I think he helped teach me that were important characteristics. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse number 16. Also, he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. King Asa, by the brook Kidron. And the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa, King Asa. Now, I didn't reference that. I intended to do that, but that's New King James. I know y'all are shocked. But the reason why I used New King James was this word right here. Now, if you read that in the Old King James, it says perfect, he was complete, or whatever. But if you look at the context, context always demands the interpretation of the passage. Context of this is, what is he saying? He was loyal. It didn't matter who the queen was and what anyone else did. What was he loyal to? He was loyal to what God wanted. So the queen had set up false graven images or false gods, and Asa was going to tear those things down. He was loyal to what it was God wanted, And I want to tell you, loyalty is not a character flaw. Loyalty is a strength of character. Another thing I think about my dad, I think of integrity. There may be things you don't like about my dad. There may be characteristics that my dad was not a god. He wasn't perfect. He made mistakes along the way. But I can tell you that there's one thing, if you knew my dad, you would know he had integrity. Maybe if something didn't go right, my dad was going to do the right thing. You might not like him for it. It wasn't always the easy thing. It might be the thing that made you mad because you really would like him to have overlooked that. But he had integrity, and he was going to sleep good at night. And he was going to make the decision that he believed was the right decision in that situation. I've seen my dad in situations that were painful to him. Painful to him, meaning it cost him money or time or whatever. And he did the thing he believed was the right thing to do. He had integrity. And he believed that was an important principle. Proverbs 19, verse number 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. You know what that says? It's better to have integrity and not have money than it is to be perverse. And you may have all the money in the world, be perverse, but you're a fool if that's the case. You're better off being poor and walking in your integrity. Being the kind of person that you need to be. Integrity is very important. Proverbs 20, verse number 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I think that verse is very applicable as well. His children are blessed because of his integrity. I want to tell our parents, especially our young parents that are here, you are teaching your children these principles by the example that you're setting before them. My dad had a very loud voice. He's a booming type bass voice. He was very loud, but he understood that there were times it was important to keep your mouth closed. Probably a lesson I needed to learn at times. In fact, I can remember a few times when I got that specific instruction from him that I would be better off had I not opened my mouth in that situation, and not an unusual piece of advice from my dad. But my dad did know how to close his mouth. If it wasn't your business, he didn't share it with you. He just wasn't one to open his mouth. And that's a characteristic of a godly person. It's an important characteristic. James 1, verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Those are lessons that we need to take and recognize. It's not always good to open your mouth and say something. And I learned, or still learning, that lesson from my dad. You know, I learned from my dad that life doesn't always go the way you want life to go. Life doesn't always go your way. And I can tell you, I saw my dad in some very low times. I'm telling you, low times. Lost a lot of weight, down to almost nothing, low times. He was just struggling over certain things that were happening in life. But you know, one of the things I saw in my dad is somebody who recognized life doesn't always go your way. I look at this verse, Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8. This verse has always been a verse that has just stood out to me in the Bible. This is talking about Jesus. It says, though he were a son, talking about Christ, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. Not many of us can get our head around the concept of Christ, number one, being obedient, and then the second concept is he learning obedience. You would think he being the creator from the beginning, what do you need to learn? Well, he learned obedience. And what did he learn? Or how did he learn it? By the things that he suffered. You know, Christ recognize that not everything goes the way you necessarily, idealistically would want it to go. He prayed in a garden, Father, not my will, but thy will be done in all things. Prayed that three different times. He could have called 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. Because what he did was obeyed God. And life may not have necessarily taken the twist or the turns that would have necessarily been favorable to his physical well-being, but he still did what it was that God wanted him to do. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And I want to tell you, life doesn't always go the way you want life to go. And tell you in my own life, life hasn't always gone the way that I planned it to go. It didn't always go the way that I wanted it to go, or in an idealistic way of what I wanted life to have happen. But the reality is, life doesn't always go the way you want life to go. Brings it to the next point is, my dad taught me a lesson that you get back up and you keep going. And you can't let life's twists and turns keep you down. And a lot of times people get very overwhelmed by life, that life has taken twists and turns they weren't expecting, they didn't think about. It wasn't the approach they really wanted in life. It wasn't the ideals that they had young in life. And as life played itself out, they just didn't like the way it played out. And it's very easy to get down on ourselves. It's very easy to get down on life. It's very easy to get down on what has happened around us. And the reality is, we've got to get back up and we've got to keep going. There's a story, I've got Hebrews 5 and 8, that is incorrect. That's in 2 Samuel. David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. This is the story of King David. He was fasting. He was in grief over the fact that his child was sick. And he was grieving over the fact that his child was sick. And he continued to fast and continued to grieve. But then his servants came to him and says, the child has died. And he got back up after the child has died. And this is the context of the passage where he says, I cannot go to him. He'll come to, other way around. He can't come to me. I'll go to him. And I'll see my son again someday. His son died. It wasn't exactly the way he had it planned out. It wasn't exactly life's twists and turns. It wasn't exactly the way he wanted it to be done. But what did he want? What did he recognize? What he recognized was is that life continues on. And from this moment, we have to get back up and we have to go. And he arose from the earth. He washed himself. He anointed himself. He changed his clothes. He came into the house of the Lord. He worshiped God. Let's go back to living life. That doesn't mean there's not grief there. That doesn't mean there's not sorrow there. There's not, you know, if you look at somebody and you can say, life didn't exactly go the way we wanted it to go. But the reality is, we have to keep moving or life will overwhelm us. My dad taught me that. I saw him do it. I witnessed him do it. I saw my dad at some very tragic times in our life and family, challenges. And I saw him get back up. What a great inspiration to his family to know that the leader of our family got back up and kept moving. My dad taught me important lessons about repentance. I saw my dad from time to time make mistakes. And not to try to make a human element of, you know, we all do, as though that's an excuse for it. The reality is that we ought to be aiming to not make mistakes. It ought to be a priority of ours to do right things. But the reality is that we make mistakes from time to time. I saw my dad make some mistakes along the way. I saw my dad in his own personal decisions, sometimes made decisions that were not really the decisions that needed to be made, and he grieved over those things. And I saw him sit down in the room and say, I'm sorry. I apologize. That's what repentance is. Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. The sorrow of the world worketh death. You know, you can get overwhelmed with sorrow if you don't know how to handle mistakes. You're going to make mistakes along the way. But the sorrow of this world will work death. You'll get overwhelmed with what life brings if you can't understand the importance of repentance and forgiveness and being able to forgive yourself and keep moving and keep walking. One of the cherished things I think my dad taught me. My dad also taught me that he was ready to die. I went over to Dad Nita's house one night. Nita said, your dad's not eating. And I said, Dad, are you not eating? I'm not hungry. I said, Dad, you've got to eat. He said, I'm not hungry. I said, Dad, if you don't eat, you'll die. And he said, I think I'll just die. you know. Now, to me, that's a little bit humorous, but my dad was talking about the fact that his body was weak and he was tired and he was frail from taking a lot of chemo and stuff was just hard on him. But you know, one thing that when I think over the last year, I drive into my driveway and there's things I miss about my dad. There's things on a daily basis I think about my dad. But you know, one thing that's comforting to me is my dad wasn't just at a spot where he was ready to die from a physical standpoint, but he knew the Lord. He was ready to die. And that gives comfort to family that's around him, that he was ready to meet his maker. He was ready to move on to the other side of Jordan. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also, which love his appearing. Now, I've given you this list of things that are lessons my dad taught me, and I don't think a sermon could contain all the lessons my dad probably has taught me. It'd be impossible to do that. But there's one thing I want you to notice about this list of things. Every one of them are Bible principles. And every one of them have Bible verses associated with them. And you know, one of the greatest gifts my dad gave me was that he was a godly father that taught me the importance of God's word in our home. Trusted him in that. I had faith in him in that. When we made a mistake, what do we say? I'm sorry. There's a poster that's posted sometimes that says all the great lessons in life you learned from your kindergarten teacher. You know, like how to use your manners and how to say you're sorry and you move on. And kindergartners are taught those very important principles. Say you're sorry, move on. You know, little kids can get that figured out. But we as adults struggle with those things, even though we try to teach it at a very young age. Children don't have too many problems with that. They can go, oh, that person did something to me, stole my toy, he offended me, he hit me, whatever. But 5 minutes later, we're playing together, right, as children. But as adults, we can't do that, can we? We hold grudges, and we've got problems for years to come, and we make matters worse. I'm thankful that my dad taught me to live by those kindergarten principles, the principles of biblical proportion. They're really not kindergarten. They're for big people. They're for you and I. And I am thankful for the lessons that I learned from my father. And I want to tell you this morning, my father didn't get those lessons on his own. He didn't just come up with stuff to teach his children. He got them from his father, his mother. And ultimately, we get them from where? Our Heavenly Father. He's the one that gives us instruction on how we should live. I want to encourage you this morning. Life doesn't always go the way you want it to go. Life doesn't always map out the way you map it out. We can get overwhelmed with that. We can live in drama world. Oh, woe is me. Oh, I can't believe that I'm... You know, we can do that. Or what we can do is we can recognize the fact that we have to keep walking and we have to keep doing and we have to keep the vision and the goal, like Brother Weldon said in his prayer, that we keep the things in front of us that are important, like Brother Scott talked about in his communion speech, that we keep focused on the things that are important and we keep walking in our life and keep God in our life and we keep focused in our life to the principles that are important.